The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You'd only have success, and that's what's ultimately going to unify this country and unify this party. We have a great Republican Party with tremendous talent, and we want to have unity, and we're going to have unity, and it's going to happen very quickly. And I have been saying lately, success will bring unity to our country, and it happened before. We had the best economy our country's ever had. And people were calling me that I would have said, will never happen. It'll never happen. They wanted to get together African-American, Asian-American, Hispanic-American, women, men, people with diplomas from the best schools in the world, and people that didn't graduate from high school. Every single group was doing better than ever before. And it was a beautiful thing. Our country was coming together.
As the old saying goes, success is the best form of revenge. President Trump from Mar-a-Lago, what a week it has been. Primary after primary, then Super Tuesday, the amazing decision 9-0 from the Supreme Court. What is the future of those who love America? Let's ask a man who we haven't had on the show for quite some time because he's far too busy writing books. Or he should be. From Hillsdale College, assistant professor, fellow, research fellow, our good friend, David Azrad. David, welcome back to America First.
Thank you for having me and for chiding me to hurry up and finish my book.
Come on, you're supposed to be some kind of highfalutin academic. You can't be an academic without a library of books behind you. I mean, we have guests on this show like Victor Davis Hanson and Lord Conrad Black. They could literally dam the Potomac with the tomes that they have written over the years. So hurry up, David. It's not just about radio interviews and then hiding out in your office and educating the next generation. That is important as well. But leave something behind as your legacy. All right. I wanted to have you on the show to discuss the future of the conservative movement, which is rather strange because I don't know if you're a Vulcan as well as a good chap, but you've actually just written an article with exactly that title in the Journal of Contemporary Legal Issues, Revitalizing the Right. So let's start with an analysis of where we are right now. We'll get to your prescriptions for the future, but let's start with the last 7 years, David. It seems to me that there are two types of commentator, analyst, what have you, talking head, or even politically active individual. And there are those who understand the significance of the events of 2016 and those who see the events of 2016 as aberrant to be dismissed and then for us to wend our way back to business as usual. Do you share that analysis? And if so, could you talk a little bit about the significance of the events of 2016, where we saw two forms of populism clash with each other, the left form under Bernie Sanders, and then the new or the revitalized America First, Tea Party, if you will, MAGA populism. Give us your 60,000 foot view of the events of 2016 to begin with.
Yeah, I like to invoke a flipping term that a friend of mine called, and it's the BIPEC. You hear a lot about BIPOCs, right? Black, indigenous, people of color. But in America, we have a BIPEC, a bipartisan elite consensus, which means that day to day, if you follow the news, you think they're at each other's throats, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, look at how they disagree about transgender bathrooms and abortion. But then if you look at some core issues like Ukraine, like immigration, like trade, the Republicans and the Democrats are largely interchangeable at the top. People who work at center-right think tanks like AEI are no different than people who work at center-left think tanks like Brookings. Yeah. You start to realize that there is an elite consensus that cuts across parties that doesn't extend to every issue, but that they are in broad agreement and that they are not aligned with large swaths of the American people. I mean, the issues where you really see it are issues having to do with borders. You know, trade and immigration are the two most shocking ones, where honestly, Clinton and Bush are indistinguishable from one another. They all kind of tell you that we need to be more integrated into the world, that it doesn't matter where things are made, all that matters is the cost, that we're a nation of immigrants, legal immigration is good. They used to say illegal immigration bad. I guess that is starting to change. The BIPAC is cracking there. On foreign policy, they all seem to broadly agree that everyone wants to be free, everyone can be free, and thanks to U.S. global leadership, one day everyone will be free. And then in 2016, it was pretty interesting. You had 17 candidates in the Republican primary, 4 in the Democratic primary. But if you look at the issue of immigration, for example, there were only 2 candidates that broke with their party's consensus. Bernie Sanders on the left, who it's interesting to note, is not a Democrat. He's an independent who caucuses with the Democrats. And then, of course, Donald Trump. The difference between the two of them is that Trump pulled off the most improbable of all victories. He was endorsed by no newspapers, by almost no prominent Republicans. He was opposed by the Commentariat, by the Wall Street Journal. And he managed to pull off this amazing victory. And what I find most amazing about him is with everything they've thrown at him since then, he's indefatigable. He hasn't lost his enthusiasm, his will to fight. I mean, I think that most other men by this point would be broken and discouraged and would think, no way in hell I'm subjecting myself and my family to another 4 years of this. And the guy is indomitable. He doesn't stop. So I guess the two most amazing things to me in the past 7 years are him pulling it off in 2016 against all odds, and him coming back roaring in 2024, in spite of everything that they've thrown at him, the media, the courts, the deep state. I mean, it's kind of surreal. The one question I really have, or the two questions I really have are, will they let him win? I.e., can he beat the margin of cheating and of lawfare? And second, even if he does win, will he be able to govern? Or will he once again be even more ferociously opposed by the courts, the bureaucracy, the deep state, the media? You know, to me, it's an open question whether President Trump would be able to deport the flood of illegal aliens who are invading the country. I have no doubt he wants to, but he will be up against some very powerful forces.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you've teed up everything I want to discuss for the next hour. I know him because I worked for him in the White House, but I'm curious how an outsider sees it, given your knowledge of other political actors and historical context. It shocks me, as somebody who worked for him, that he's actually prepared to do this again after 4 years of incessant calumny, the courts, the libel, that he'd do it again. What kind of individual is this in historic perspective?
I mean, I would say as a Canadian who is in love with this in this country, he's drawing from the best of the American tradition in the sense of there is a manliness to America. Now, it has been suffocated and repressed for the past century in various ways. I mean, we live in a very feminized society. Masculinity is pathologized. Little boys who don't behave like little girls are stuffed with Ritalin. Everyone is put into therapy. And Trump is like this roar from the old manly America, the America that put a man on the moon, that conquered a vast continent, that won 2 world wars, that doesn't take no for an answer, that likes to win. I mean, his invocation, that slogan was so good. We're going to make America great again. And it taps into 2 things, the dawning realization that we are no longer a great country because we've been misgoverned for so long, but that we do yearn for greatness. And he went beyond the stale platitudes of the American dream. You know, if I may offer one friendly criticism of this country from someone who really loves it is, Americans give an insufficiently great account of what makes America great. They instinctively default to the American dream that if you work hard, you can get ahead. To which I say, honestly, you can do that in Belgium, and you can do that in Canada, and you can do that in Sweden. What to me makes America great is the boldness, the daring, the, I mean, these things I mentioned, putting, I mean, who looks at the moon and says, we're going to put a man on there and then bring him back? He is, yeah, there's something indomitable, and it should give hope to all of us on the right who tend to despair in looking at the state of the country, that the old American spirit is not dead. And at the end of the day, without that spirit, without a revitalization of the American spirit, we won't be able to do any of the things we want to do. Because to a large extent, we have lost the country. The institutions are dominated by an elite that despises America and Americans. And we will need not just the spirit and courage, we'll also need cunning and a plan and staffing and money. But this spirit, this defiant spirit, is the prerequisite to doing all the things worth doing to save the country.
We talk to David Azrad, Hillsdale.edu, assistant professor and research fellow. Support that amazing organization. And if you've got kids, send them there instead of sending them somewhere else that will brainwash them. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One, the deep dive with true experts and newsmakers like our friend, the good professor. If you enjoy the deep dive, the long form, make sure you're subscribed on whichever podcast platform you prefer. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a five-star review. Share the link with your friends. Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms, a literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA and proud of it. Let me tell you a story about a 12-year-old young boy called Liam from Middleborough, Massachusetts. Liam, 12 years old, was punished by the school he attended for wearing a T-shirt that said, quote, there are only two genders. Yeah, he was punished. This isn't about a shirt. It's about government officials telling a seventh grader he can't say that which is important to him. That's not freedom. If they can censor him, they can censor anyone. So what do we do about it? We support those who fight for young men like Liam and all of our free speech and religious liberties. Who am I talking about? For 30 years, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been fighting in the highest court of the land with a dozen victories. They've got two cases there right now, including for the Massachusetts Family Institute suing the town of Middleborough on behalf of little 12-year-old Liam. Stand with Liam today. Please support the Alliance Defending Freedom. A donation of $100 makes a difference because ADF doesn't charge their clients a penny for taking their cases all the way to the highest court in the land. Go to sebgorka.com and click with the Stand with ADF banner or call them directly 855-374-4767. That's 855-374-4767. Please be generous for Liam and for all of our religious liberties. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. I got so many questions. I'm worried we're going to run out of time, but let me just go back to what you said about the, what did you call it? You called it the BIPEC, the bipartisan elite consensus, right?
Yeah.
How did we get here? Because you're absolutely right. There is this bi-coastal elite that laughs. I mean, this clip we played yesterday after the midterms of the former White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, who's now a, you know, show host on a mainstream cable channel, laughing because she says, well, I live in Virginia, and I don't understand these exit polls. All these Trump supporters who voted for Trump, they said their number one issue is immigration. Last time I checked, Virginia wasn't a border state. Ha, 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 ha. So, you know, this arrogance, this kind of let them eat cake separation from the American people. How did this become a bipartisan aspect? Because you're right, the rhinos, the establishment, the Democrats, really there's no difference between them on big issues. When did the rot settle in that they had such disregard for the will of the American people who actually are their employer? Where would you point that crunch moment?
Yeah, and let me just sharpen or accentuate what you said. It's not just a disregard, it's contempt. Yes. Angelo Codavilla wrote a really fantastic essay, which I'm sure you read in 2008, called America's Ruling Class. I remember Rush Limbaugh had read the whole thing on air.
And I think Andrew turned it into a book before he died.
That's correct. He reprinted it as a book, and he hones in on there on contempt as the defining feature of the ruling class in terms of how they view the rest of America. And that Psaki quote you mentioned also highlights something he doesn't talk about, but we all see, is the ignorance, how they just don't understand the rest of the country, but they also don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, the Obama quote, they cling to their guns and their religion, was so revealing in terms of this mentality. And by the way, it really brings out, I think, the two aspects that give the elites, and I should add foreigners, the greatest perplexity when it comes to America. It's Christianity and guns, because this is really the place, I think, along with free speech, where America is most an outlier compared to other Western nations. We are, even though Christianity is regrettably in decline and battered and bruised, and as Ross Douthat says, there's a lot of bad religion in America, we remain more observant, and the churches have more warm bodies on Sunday mornings than anywhere else in the West I can think of.
Yeah.
And then we're really the last people who understand the value of an armed citizenry. And I got to tell you, as a foreigner, this for me was the longest distance to travel. Like, you grew up in Canada, no one has firearms, and you're just taught to think that it's the government and the police jobs to protect you. And you see on television these Americans with guns, and you think they're crazy. They're completely crazy. But then you realize what it does for the civic virtue of the people to not have fully offloaded to the state the responsibility to protect your home and your family. It doesn't mean that Americans waltz around with, you know, automatic weapons when they go to the grocery stores, but it's the mental habit that I still have some duties that I haven't offloaded to the state. So to answer your question, I couldn't tell you exactly when it begins, Sebastian. It's been going on for decades and intensifying.
But there has to be some deal. There has to be a point at which the putative conservative said, well, let's just scratch the left's back and they'll scratch ours. When does that happen? Under whose leadership did that mutual admiration society begin?
I mean, this is where I will confess. I mean, there's always been a tension in the 20th century between the Republican Party and conservative intellectuals on the one hand,
yeah,
and the base and Republican voters and people who, I guess, people who donate to National Review and people who write for National Review. There have always been frictions there. What I can tell you is where it comes from is the universities. I think that the universities are the central nodes in the regime. I mean, think about it. Who runs America? You'll say corporations. Well, where do the CEOs go to learn their worldview? Universities. You'll say the government. People who work in government have college degrees. And then you look at the arts, media, Hollywood, nonprofits, foundations. You name the sphere of influence in America, you will find that it is run by people who went to universities, and there was a handful of exceptions. I'm lucky enough to work at one of them, but let's be honest. they're all the same, not in terms of prestige. They're all the same in terms of the worldview that imbues them.
Yeah.
The worldview of the professors, the teaching you to despise a combination of not knowing American history and knowing that it's bad, that it's basically slavery. The combination of, promoting sexual degeneracy, the worship of purportedly oppressed identity groups. It is where you learn the new creed. And this is why people who run the right, generally speaking, went to colleges and they picked it up there. And so what makes Trump interesting, because someone will say, well, he went to Wharton. Yes. But Trump, like J.D. Vance, like others, like Peter Thiel and Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson, are traitors to their class. And I think that's what we need more of on the right, is people who can operate in elite America, in coastal America, understand the lingo, but see through the BS and decide to basically betray their social class and stand on behalf of the Americans who cling to their guns and their religion, even though they themselves, I don't know what Elon Musk does, but I don't know that he's a church-going person. And I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he has no firearms. But you can see that his mind is in the process of changing. That, if I see a future for the country, is to have more class traitors. Elite Americans.
To be clear, traitors to the elite class. That's who David's talking
Correct.
About. All right, so there's no confusion. Correct. All right, he may be from Canada, but he is going to cling to his Bible and his newly purchased AR-15. We're talking to David Azrad, assistant professor and research fellow at Hillsdale College. We love Larry Arn. We love Imprimis. Go today. It's free. Subscribe at hillsdale.edu. And if you enjoy what we provide for you here on America First, never miss the breaking news. Follow me on all the social media platforms that matter. Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter, Telegram. You can watch the show on your Roku, your Fire Stick, or just get the Salem News Channel app. And for unique content from me and direct access to me, go to my Substack. My latest article is The Reason They All Hate Trump. That's sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my whole name is one word, sebastiangorka.substack.com. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. If you enjoy America First, please support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell. The left hates him. They're trying to cancel him constantly. Let's have his back. There's a reason he sold more than 81 million of the MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. But are you aware he's got more than 200 other items on his website made by Americans here in America for you? Don't buy that Chinese garbage on Amazon. Go to relieffactor.com. Go to MyPillow.com and check out, for example, even your four-legged friends can get treats there. Titus, our new canine, has stolen Killian's MyPillow pet bed simply because it's just so cozy. So whether it's you or your furry friends, go to MyPillow.com, use my name for up to 66% off, or talk to a human being. Call them up. How nice is that? 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Okay, I want to enlist your assistance in helping me answer a question that I grappled with in my latest article. It's the real reason they all hate Donald Trump. And I've been grappling with this since I worked in the White House for the president, because I was trying to, as a human being, understand why you'd so hate another human being who just disagrees with you politically. You know, to call a man who moved the embassy to Jerusalem, whose daughter converted to Judaism, an anti-Semite and a bigot. I mean, you, what, there's a certain level of you know, invertebrate vermin that just thinks that's okay. So the most philo-Semitic president since 1948, but he's the anti-Semite. And I've got two theories. Number one, he is the quintessence of the modern alpha male. So, you know, the Bill Crystals of the world who are being given noogies in high school can't stand him and they see him as a bully. And then the second is, and this is the gist of my article, it comes from a discussion I had with Pastor Jack Hibbs earlier this week. He really loves America. I mean, and he doesn't believe in the 1619 project. He doesn't believe in the cisgender white patriarchy. He loves America, and that's inexcusable. Is there any other ingredient that so justifies their vituperation and hatred?
Yeah, I'd say two more. One is he threatens their interests. They realize that if he could implement the whole of his agenda, they would lose from the grift and the connections to government that they run on. I mean, he wanted to drain the swamp, and they are the swamp, and it's their livelihood. So that's one. The other is temperamentally, this I see with so many people who are not that political and are still willing to vote for Biden, even though they realize Biden is kind of a vegetable and they don't like the state of the economy. But Trump provokes allergic reactions in people because, look, let's be honest, he can be vulgar. You know, he doesn't behave in a presidential way sometimes. He doesn't talk the way
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
But why does that matter? I mean, when people bring this up, I say, are you a child? How's your 401k doing? If you think that mean tweets are more important than crushing ISIS, you shouldn't be allowed to vote. I don't get it, David.
Well, it does. I mean, I'm not telling you I agree with them, but they're more bothered. I think you especially see it with these people who don't follow politics all that much. They feel that it makes them look bad vis-a-vis the eyes of foreigner, and the media magnifies and hounds him. I mean, can you imagine if the media covered Trump, covered Biden or Obama the way they covered Trump? So it's exacerbated by that, but they're just bothered by the fact, which I got to say, I find very endearing because there's so much suffocating BS in American public life. So many lies. There's something refreshing about Trump's way of talking. And, you know, the beginning of wisdom for Trump is that Selena Zito line from 2015 or 16 is the mistake that his critics make is that they take him literally, but not seriously.
Right.
Whereas people who support him don't take literally every last thing he says, but they take him seriously in terms of the broad thrust of what he's proposing. But he does give them the hives and allergic reactions. But to be quite honest, even if he were to stop, I don't think he should stop doing so because so much of his appeal to ordinary Americans is this sincerity to Trump that very much makes them feel like he's not like all the other politicians. He doesn't talk like them. So Yeah, I for one find it endearing and refreshing, but mine is not a majority verse in Washington, D.C.
All right, I think we've got the title for this segment, Eric. I find Trump's style refreshing. I think that'll get a few eyeballs. We're talking to assistant professor, research fellow at the superlative Hillsdale College, hillsdale.edu. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you will ever sleep on. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set for $59.98, king-size for $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the My Pillow Company continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their products. To get those specials, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98 and king size for $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-829-8468 or go to MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. We've got just under 8 months left. Are you ready to fight? Are you at tip-top peak condition? Or are you carrying a little bit of excess luggage? I can relate. I've been there. I could hide it, but it's not good. I'm 6'3", but being 268 pounds, that's not good for my heart. That's not good for my health. And then I met Dr. Ashley Lucas and her amazing team at My PhD Weight Loss, and I lost 42 pounds in just a matter of months. My muse, Katie, lost 36, and now Mike Gallagher has lost 53 pounds and kept it off. Dennis Prager is on the program. So is my producer, Mr. G. If I can do it, anyone can. No scary injections, no pills to pop, just 5 meals a day that help you burn the fat. I'm down to a size 36 in my blue jeans. I haven't done that since I was in my 20s. That feels good. Find out for yourself. Call their amazing team, 864-644-1900, or just go to my phdweightloss.com and check out the before and after pictures. Mine will shock you. That's 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. Okay, I got so many more questions to get through. Let's talk about the two things that should be of greatest concern. Number one, do you trust that we will have an opportunity to actually freely elect the president we want in November?
No, I don't trust that. We may, but no, I don't have confidence in the American electoral system. And I especially don't have confidence because one of the parties is adamant that they don't want to give me confidence. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard. You know, I'll never forget when I moved here and I first encountered this argument that it is racist to ask people for ID to vote. And I really, really couldn't process that one. And you see that any kind of commonsensical reform to make our elections more secure, to instill confidence from voters in both parties, are opposed tooth and nail by one party in the states where it's happening. So it may well be, I would never, ever discourage people from voting. I think that would be the biggest mistake we could make, is to think, oh, it's all rigged, there's no point in voting. But no, I don't have full confidence in the American electoral system, but I think it wouldn't be all that hard to instill that confidence, as I said, for all Americans. You know, clean up the rolls, vote in person the day of, and seriously, seriously limit, you know, mail-in or early ballot for, you know, really special cases, maybe troops abroad, someone who's, you know, has a terrible illness. But otherwise, I think you should vote in person the day of. And if it means waiting in line, well, you know, it's your civic duty doesn't always have to be easy. Rights are easy. Duties are supposed to be a bit more burdensome.
Yeah. The second concern I have, it kind of flows out of an aphorism or an observation of my friend Chris Plant, who has the morning show here in D.C. on WMAL. He says, one of the greatest achievements of the left in the last 40 years is to guarantee that decent people would never work in a Republican administration, and especially not a Trump administration. And I can relate to that. You know, I'd be prepared to do it again if the president wanted me. But you know, what I went through is one thing, but what my wife went through, what my children went through, to have a quote-unquote journalist write a hit piece on my son who's aged 18 at high school age and call him a traitor by name in the headline of the article. What kind of normal person would be prepared to do that? So is this one of the greatest successes and one of our greatest concerns for, if God willing, he wins, who on earth is going to fill those 4,000 presidential slots?
Yeah, and consider that the first time around, he didn't even manage to fill all of the slots. You know, you need to find people who are A, ideologically aligned. So that's the first problem, because Trump's base is not in D.C., in New York, you know, in the elite cities. He can't just go to any think tank in D.C. and draw from there. So that's your first obstacle. Second, you can be ideologically aligned, but you need to have some competence. You need to have some experience. Generally speaking, the people who have experience serving in Republican administrations, you know, who've been in D.C. for a long time, do not like Trump. And then even if you can overcome these two things, you pointed out to it and you went through it, and I'm very sorry to hear about what they did to your son. I didn't know that, but I must say I'm not surprised. Is, you know, that they will unleash everything on you. And then, you know, you got lucky if it was only media hits. What happens if you start getting, you know, law enforcement or the IRS deciding to persecute your family, to hound you for, you know, a penny you didn't pay in taxes 20 years ago? It creates a real barrier to entry. Add to that the fact then that if you want to serve in the National Security Council, you need to get security clearances. And guess who issues them? The deep state.
Yeah.
The intelligence agencies that are, you know, were involved in the Russia hoax and in hounding the administration. So it is a real obstacle. And if you overcome all of that, to go back to what we talked about, you are then going to find a media environment that is vehemently opposed to anything you say or do, and then courts and a bureaucracy that will challenge, impede, stymie, and slow down. So my one hope is, I really do hope that Trump has learned some good lessons from the first term. He did some good things on the first term, but he didn't do as much as he would have wanted to or as much as he promised. And I hope that behind the bravado of, you know, we always win, he did realize what he needs to do differently the second time around to defeat his enemies within the government.
Yeah. We're talking to David Azrad, assistant professor and research fellow at Hillsdale College. The website is hillsdale.edu. If you enjoy the long-form discussions with our guests like David, please make sure you are subscribed, whichever platform you prefer, whether it's Spotify, Salem, Stitcher, Apple. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Do leave us a 5-star review and share the links with your friends, because that's how we get the truth out there. And to never miss the breaking news, follow me on all social media platforms that matter. Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on Truth, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter, Telegram. Don't forget, you can watch the show on the Salem News Channel app. And for unique writings by me and access directly to me, do check out my Substack. That's SebastianGorka.substack.com. SebastianGorka.substack.com. If you want 45 back as 47, if you want security, if you want prosperity, tell the world whose side you're on and fly the right flag. It is the I Stand With 45 Trump 2024 flag, made in America, along with all of our America First gear. The number one that surprises me is the dementia Joe has got to go with Joe licking his ice cream cone. But the brand new one, it's just a smiling President Trump with a 9-0 result. Check that out and all of my books at SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorkaStore.com. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. A tactical question for you as we close our discussion, which has been immensely enjoyable. You have recently left the swamp, but I'm sure you have lots of people you still know who live and work in the swamp. As those who love America and who have conservative values, who understand the founding, what tips would you give our listeners? You're talking to about 3.5 million listeners right now across the nation. When you're in conversation with somebody who doesn't like the mean tweets or thinks Uncle Joe is a nice, affable old geezer, what is the best way to communicate to those people you identify that I don't think about enough, and they're the people who don't think about politics, who aren't imbued with politics? How do we communicate to them the stakes or the truths they should be ruminating over, David?
You know, that was a harder question to answer in 2016 because Trump was an unknown quantity politically. I find now I could say, okay, you don't like his tweets. You don't like the way he talks. You wish there were more decorum. But he was in office for 4 years. And tell me, what is the most, you know, radical, outrageous thing he did?
Yeah.
He didn't get us into any new wars. The economy was doing well. He undid the Iran deal and was actually started once again boxing in Iran and undoing the terrible, terrible damage that Obama had done with that Iran deal, which basically saved, you know, one of America's, probably the regime that hates America more than any other regime in the world, saved it from the brink of financial collapse.
Yeah.
With the infusion of cash that went there. So you could criticize some of Trump's policies. You could say you wish he would have, but where is the Third Reich? Where is, you know, the deportations? And I guess what they'll have to say is January 6th, to which I would say, regardless of what you think of it, it was a four-hour disturbance on Capitol Hill with a few hundred people, none of whom were armed. It was not an insurrection. It was not an attempted coup d'etat. What happened to America post-George Floyd that summer of 2020 was infinitely worse than what happened on January 6th.
Yeah.
On January 6th, a few hundred people breached the Capitol, most of whom did nothing. Some got rowdy. They were not armed. They did not kill any police officers. They did not loot. They did not burn down buildings. If anything, I would say the law has come down on them in a way that is disturbing. I mean, people who broke the law should be punished. But you really see how the regime comes down on them. Contrast that to the summer of George, where we had billions of dollars of destroyed property, looting, rioting, dead people, police officers who got killed in both Louisiana and Dallas. And I would say, yeah, but the media made excuses for it. So you may think January 6th is the worst thing ever since 9/11 because the media has talked about it that way. But when you look at it objectively, America didn't come close to falling that day. So I think that his policies, regardless of what you think of them, and you can criticize them from the left and from the right, were not that radical. And therefore, there's no reason to be so alarmist. Whereas Biden, I mean, I think the border should be dispositive.
Yeah.
I mean, what is, what, you know, One of my students was asking me, are we a failed state because of the border? And I said, no, we're not, because failed states lack the means to control their territory. Somalia is a failed state because the government can't control outside of Mogadishu. We don't lack the means. It's more pathetic. It's more worrisome. We lack the will. We overnight could shut down the border. We don't want to.
Correct.
And it's humiliating. It's dangerous. Americans are dying. It has serious implications for the long-term health of the country. That alone, to me, should be dispositive. You have open borders, Joe, against Trump, whose signature issue from day one has really been immigration.
Yeah.
And look, if people can't see that, I would chuckle and leave. And, you know, there's just a limit to the ability of how much you can persuade people.
Yeah, I'd go get my AR-15 and go to the range for some range practice. Yeah, it's quite an irony that immigration is the issue that got him elected in 16. And now it's even easier to get him elected on the same issue. It's quite the irony of I think it goes back to what you said about the left, which I've said for a long time. They're wicked, they're ideological, but they're also cretins. They really are cretins. He hasn't written his first book yet, so I'm going to take this opportunity to plug my wife's book. You can get it right now, Next Gen Marxism, What It Is and How to Combat It. It's going to be as good as anything that our good friend ever publishes. He's going off to write something right now. Next Gen Marxism by Katie Gorka. Get it right now. Co-authored by Mike Gonzalez. Go to Amazon, wherever you get books. And in the meantime, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Biden's been practicing for weeks, but not his speech, staying up past 9 o'clock. He'll do it. The average time of Biden's State of the Union is about 1 hour and 6 minutes. However, the feels-like time is closer to 4 hours. Biden's speech will be broadcast on all of the major networks like NBC, CBS, and ABC, which means the big winner tomorrow will be Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon.
Is Jimmy Fallon the only... Why is he dyeing his hair? Jimmy, you're like, what, in your 30s? Seriously. Is he the only late-night comedian who's taking shots? Comedically. Calm down, Media Matters. The current incumbent in the White House. Wes, welcome, dear friends. This is America First. I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka. It's the State of the Union tonight. Will you be watching it? I won't. I got a much more important thing to do. We can talk about that later. I want you to sound off. Tell us what you're doing this evening, if you're going to be on Netflix or doing something far more important than watching a real high-stakes State of the Union for the current incumbent in the White House. Because how's he going to justify what he's wrought to this nation in the last 3 years? If you go to my feed, we're getting the video right now. I didn't want to believe this, but Letitia James was addressing firefighters in New York, and they just chanted Trump, Trump, Trump. The firefighters have had enough with the government of New York. America is pushing back. But everybody has to take a stand. Why? Well, because of the lies that they're propagating and the fantasy world in which they live. The story from the New York Times has a rather... Eric, do you have the image from the New York Times I sent you earlier today, about an hour ago? Tell me when you've got it. It was texted to you. They have a large article about the State of the Union with... with Joe Biden in some kind of cartoonish version of himself as Rocky. There it is. He's in a ring with boxing gloves on. They've superposed his senile old head onto an actual, you know, fit fighter's body. And this is from Miranda Devine. She posted this photograph of the New York Times. Here's the headline. At the State of the Union... Let's see. Can you put it back? At the State of the Union, let's see Dark Brandon in the House. What? Dark Brandon? Is he some kind of fictional superhero? Who is Dark Brandon? Is Dark Brandon the individual who opened our borders? Who caused the death of Lake and Riley? Is Dark Brandon the person who sacrificed Afghanistan to the cost of 13 of our servicemen and women murdered by a suicide bomber from ISIS? Is Dark Brandon the man who stood by as KGB Colonel Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine for the second time? The first time was when he was vice president, and now they invaded again. Or is Dark Brandon the person who stood by as 1,300 Israelis, men, women, and children, were murdered by Hamas, which is controlled by Iran, that Biden literally just gave billions of dollars to? Is that Dark Brandon? Or is Dark Brandon the person who just kowtows to the Chinese, who says, come on, man, they're not a competitor? Which Dark Brandon are you talking about? How deep is the fantasy? Let's break this up into pieces. Unbelievably, for the State of the Union, what did the left do? They thought it would be cute to bring together the Hollywood actors still alive today who have played the president in fictional movies to advise President Biden on what he should say tonight. Just think, let that sink in for a second. Actors who dressed up to pretend to be the president, advising the real president on what he should say today. Let's start playing that. Cut 40.
I never spoke to so many presidents all at one time. Some of you might know what a big speech like I have to do is coming up State of the Union. Any advice you have for me in my delivering my speech?
Well, sir, in my capacity as president, all I had to deal with was a meteor. One of the things that I came out of that with in my speech to people, hope. Hope is the strongest force we have on this country. It is the most useful and the most effective. My advice is just keep telling us how you're working for us and building hope.
Well, Mr. President, you know, looking back at my own presidency, I behaved very badly in a lot of situations. In preparation for your speech, it's just there was one sort of piece of advice and that meant a lot to me when I was president. And so I just wanted to share that really quick with you. Tell them that you exist for them. Tell them that they make you a better man. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And also, when I used to give big speeches, I would always wind down with popcorn and red wine. So, but I know for you that would be ice cream. Do that with ice cream. I highly encourage it.
I know from experience, obviously, what a tough job it is. And when I was president, it seemed
enough. You get the gist. Morgan Freeman, Gina Davis, Michael Douglas, the second one there. Tony Goldman, an actor you wouldn't have known of unless his grandfather wasn't part of Metro Goldman Mayer. What did he say? When I was president, you're an actor. You're on a TV show. The left have lost it. They should be in a loony bin. People who pretended to be the president are advising the real president. Just tell them that you exist. Let's talk about people in the real world. Lots of rumors in the last 48 hours about Elon Musk and a report that he's going to help President Trump and sponsor or donate to his campaign. He just tweeted out the following. He said, just to be super clear, I am not donating money to either candidate for U.S. president. Why? You're the same man who said this on the Joe Rogan show. Play cut.
And Soros, I don't know. I mean, he had a very difficult upbringing. In my opinion, he fundamentally hates humanity. That's my opinion.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, well, he's doing things that erode the fabric of civilization. You know, getting DAs elected who refuse to prosecute crime. That's part of the problem in San Francisco and LA and a bunch of other cities. So why would you do that?
Was it humanity or is it just the United States as a whole?
I mean he's pushing things to other countries too.
He's doing the same thing?
Yeah.
So you understand the stakes, Elon. This is what I tweeted to your tweet. Why not, Elon? Why aren't you supporting one of the candidates? Because it's a very simple choice. One candidate is destroying the nation you chose to be a citizen of and which you clearly love. The other candidate, President Trump, wants to save America. You can't sit on the fence if you care about the United States. It's very simple. It's a binary choice. You understand the threat. You're an American by choice. So make a choice. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We have a corking show for you today. Don't go anywhere. If you don't get the third hour, the one-on-one, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends. And if you want to save America, fly the flag that says, I stand with 45 Trump 2024. Get all your America First gear at sebgorkastore.com. And you can support him directly at DonaldJTrump.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.